Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a responsible day for the 16th of Tishrei. It's the second day of Yom Tov outside of Eretz Yisrael, but it is the first day of Chol HaMoed, and therefore I thought there might be people who would be interested in this shiur. You could download it early, or you could download it on the third day of Sukkot, the first day of Chol HaMoed in Chutz Laaretz, although there will be another shiur for that. In any case, for me, it was a way to fill out the days. And it also offers an opportunity. I didn't find it actually a responsible dated to the first day of Chol HaMoed in Israel to the second day of Yom Tov. So, therefore, I took a shiur that Rav Natan Gishtetner has in his Shut Lohorot Natan about Chol HaMoed issues. It's not dated, but it's dated for Chol HaMoed. So I used it for the first day of Chol HaMoed. It's a shiur for Chol HaMoed. Rav Natan Gishtetner, Rav Natan, the son of Am Gishtetner, was born in 5692 in Hungary, in 1932 in Hungary. And he's a descendant of the Chatam Sofer, Rabbi Akiva Eger, and others. He's from an illustrious Torah line. And he has 15 volumes of response of Lohorot Natan. So it was an opportunity to introduce us to yet one more Torah scholar. In addition, his shiur for Chol HaMoed, although it takes up what sounds like a very obscure topic, ends up touching on many broad halakhic issues in relevant to Sukkot, relevant to lots of other things as well, and gives us a reminder of the central Torah ideas. So therefore, I thought it was also a nice idea to do. So this is from the Shut Lohorot Natan, from the 10th volume, Siman Nun Gimel, chapter 53. He gave it in Chol HaMoed Sukkos, Tavshin Nun Hei, 1984. And the question was, can you make schach from Atzei Orla? Now, Atzei Orla, I'm not sure if he means the branches, because my impression, although I'd have to look it up more carefully, my impression was the branches of Orla don't count as Orla. It's only the fruit of Orla that's a problem. Orla is a fruit tree that has been planted within the last 3 years, and you're not allowed to get any benefit from it. You're not allowed to use it. And so the question is, meaning, so you can't eat the fruit for sure, that's clear. Question is, you can't get a benefit from the fruit. The question is, can you use it for schach on a sukkah? Now he says atzei orla, sounds like he means the branches, but again, I'm not sure what that means. In any case, the topic, it doesn't depend on exactly which parts of the orla tree. Whatever part of the orla tree you're not allowed to use, the question is, can you use that part of it for the purposes of schach? Can you put it up on the top of a sukkah to be schach? So you might say, well, you can't get hana'a, you can't get, we commonly translate hana'a as benefit. If the rule is you can't get hana'a benefit from orla, then we would assume that you can't use it for schach, because isn't that a benefit? There is a halachic principle called mitzvot lav lehanot nitnu, that mitzvot were not given for the purpose of gaining benefit. And that means, therefore, that it's not considered a benefit to use an item for a mitzvah. Where this comes up, for example, is, let's suppose, for whatever reason, a person takes an oath, and this is not a good idea. We should generally try to avoid oaths. But let's suppose a person takes an oath that he won't get benefit from a certain shofar. He declares that shofar should be asur b'hana to me, should be prohibited in benefit to me. Okay, that's the way he says the oath goes. However you make an oath, but he says the oath in the right way. It should be like a korban to me, not like getting benefit from it. The halacha is, in Shulchan Aruch, that if somebody else blows that shofar, this person can be yotzei. This person can fulfill his obligation with that shofar. It doesn't mean he's getting a benefit for it. The answer is, we say mitzvot lav lehanot nitnu. Doing a mitzvah is something that's not considered hana'a. It's not considered a benefit in that sense of benefit. It's an obligation from Hashem, and we have to do it, and therefore, and we say that. So that's what mitzvot lav lehanot nitnu. Mitzvot lav lehanot nitnu means it's not considered that we're getting a benefit when we do a mitzvah. So that was the jam. And there in the shofar case, we say mutar af l'chadchila. It's permitted even as a first rate thing, meaning let's say the guy's walking around, somebody says to him, listen, I can make other arrangements, or you can use this shofar. And the answer is, no, use this shofar. There's no problem using the shofar. Now, why does it have to be that somebody else blows the shofar for him? Why can't he blow it himself then? So the Beis Yosef said in the name of the Kolbo that some people enjoy blowing shofar. If they enjoy blowing shofar, separate from the mitzvah aspect of it, if they get enjoyment out of it, so that's a problem, because then they're getting a benefit from the shofar. You can't do that, because a benefit, a personal bodily benefit, that we can't say mitzvah lalei not nitnu gets us in the way. I mean, it's not that the mitzvah takes away any other benefit you get out of it, it's just, it's not itself a benefit. So with a sukkah, you might then assume that when I sit in the sukkah, there's the mitzvah part. But then also, if I'm using it for schach, I'm getting shade out of it. I'm getting shade out of it because that's part of the mitzvah, but I'm also getting shade out of it, just shade. So maybe we'll say to ourselves, that makes it usser. So first, halakha concept that we're dealing with in is the question of mitzvah, lovely, I don't know, and the fact that the shade should or should not count as hana'ah, as a bodily benefit that's separate from the mitzvah benefit, and therefore, so that's one question. That, he says, is an open halakhic question. The open halakhic question is, there are rishonim well that if you get a secondary benefit that's bodily, that makes it, that then you're not allowed to do it, because even though mitzvah lovely, I don't know, nonetheless, you're getting other benefit from it. But some rishonim hold differently. But in our case, Rev Gishtetner, the Horot Natan, says he thinks it would be okay anyway for the following reason. The Noda Behuda had taken up a somewhat similar question. His topic, though, wasn't Orla issues. His topic was Asherah issues. So an Asherah is an Avodah Zorah. It's a tree that was used for Avodah Zorah, and you can't get benefit from a tree used for Avodah Zorah. That's the Asherah issue. So the Noda Behuda, when he's discussing it, says you can't get Hanah from it, but He talks about the question of how does the sale count? First, he says maybe you say shade, sale has no mamish. Sale doesn't count as anything. It doesn't really, it's not a tangible item. And then he says, no, it's not true. But then he says there's a question of derech hana'atan. So in general in halacha, there's another broad halacha concept that we have. When something is prohibited, it's usually prohibited only derech hana'atan. Derech hana'atan means in the way that one would ordinarily get benefit from it. That's the usual prohibition. Is it so? When it comes to an Asherah tree, sitting under the Asherah itself, that's derech hana'atan. He points out a Gemara in Pesachim that talks about that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, when the Beis HaMikdash was still standing, was willing to sit outside the Beit HaMikdash, not in a place that's Kodesh, but where there was shade from the Beit HaMikdash, right? If you're sitting, if the sun is at a certain place and it's shining onto the Beit HaMikdash itself, that's a tall building, it creates a shadow. He sat in that shadow and he gave shir and he spoke for hours. So why isn't that improperly getting benefit from the Beit HaMikdash? We're not to get benefit from the Beit HaMikdash. The answer was that we think that it's not derech hana'ato. Since it's not derech hana'ato, it's not prohibited. When it comes to Asherah tree, since sale is the way you get benefit, though, he says, then that can't be acceptable for schach. And then also he says, the word achila isn't used in the case of Avodah Zarah, and that word achila of eating is what's taken to mean and to understand that it's only derech hana'ato, because it, when it says you're not allowed to eat something, they mean the way that it's usually used, the way that it's usually benefited from. So with an Asherah, the Noda Behuda says that's not true. That's all about an Asherah. So Rav Gishtetner now says, but when it comes to Orla, where the Torah does use the language of lo ye'achel, that it shouldn't be eaten, and that sounds like it should be derech hana'ato, so hana'at sale would be, the shade would be shelo kedarko, would be not in its ordinary way, and therefore it should be mutar. And there's in fact a Tosfos in Kiddushin that says, how come when we say that if somebody tries to do Kiddushin, somebody tries to marry a woman using Orla as the item of Kiddushin, we say she's not Mekudesh yet. So Tosfos had that question. Tosfos, I don't understand. Why shouldn't she be Mekudesh? Why shouldn't it work? The Orla items might have value if you're going to benefit from them, shelo kederech hana'ato, not in their usual way of getting benefit. So that shows that Tosfos there is assuming that not in their usual way of getting benefit should be okay. Gishtetner says it's not quite clear. And the reason it's not quite clear is that Rashi in Pesachim, when he's talking about the Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai sitting in the shade of the Heichal, in the shade of the Beit HaMikdash, Rashi said it's not considered derech hana'ato because the Beit HaMikdash is a building, and the point of a building usually used to use its inside, and therefore the shade is not something that was intended in the creation of the building. That's not what it's built for, that's not what it's made for, and that's why it's not derech hana'ato. So that would work for our purposes. But when it comes to Rabbeinu Chananel there, had another idea. He said, Rabbeinu Chananel said that the Heichal is different because there's no Kedusha in the heikel, in the tzel, because the heikel was made for its inside use, and therefore it was never sanctified in terms of its shade, and therefore the shade isn't really part of the heikel at all. And the Meiri says that as well. He quotes Rashi first, but then he says you could also say that it never became sanctified other than for its inside, as Rabbeinu Chananel says, as Meiri quotes it. So therefore, that might not be relevant to here, because here, we're not talking about something that was created only for its inside purposes, and therefore, it might not be a relevant example. Therefore, we might say that Hana'at Tzel, the shade from Orla, could be Derech Hana'ato, and also in Orla, you could say that you can't use it for that purpose. So maybe, therefore, we can't have Orla as Chach. You can't have the items from a tree in the first 3 years of the tree, because the Schach is included in its Hana'ah, and therefore you can't do it. At the very least, he says, you have a sveik here. You have a double doubt. Remember, we've seen this before, that when you have a double doubt, it allows for various leniency. So here you have two doubts. One doubt is maybe it's not considered derech hanato. Maybe, say, a shade is not a way of getting benefit from the orla, therefore it's not included at all. Or another doubt is that there are rishonim who held that getting a side benefit, getting a secondary benefit, a physical benefit, along with a mitzvah benefit, still doesn't count as getting hana'ah, as getting benefit from the mitzvah, because of mitzvah lablayinu. So those two together, he says, should be able to be put together in terms of allowing us to use Orla as schach. All of that reasoning might work, he says, for Orla as schach in general, but he does point out that when it comes to dirabanans, the Baal HaMor had said that when it's a mitzvah d'Rabbanan, we don't say mitzvah lav lehanotinu. We don't allow ourselves that leniency of saying that the mitzvah is not given for the purpose of benefit, and therefore items that are prohibited in benefit can be used for a mitzvah. We don't do that with the Rabbanans. Why would that be important? Well, outside of Eretz Yisrael, it would be important if one was going to sit in a sukkah on Shmini Atzeret, there, right, Shmini Atzeret, so that's the whole question as to whether one sits in a sukkah on Shmini Atzeret at all. But if one assumes that the custom is outside of Israel to sit in a sukkah on Shmini Atzeret in case, right, to fulfill the rabbinic principle that we should hold it, that it might be the day before and still obligated in sukkah, so then if it's a derabanan, if it's a mitzvah, it's a rabbinic mitzvah, you can't use the idea of mitzvot lav le'anot. You know that we don't get benefit from mitzvot, and therefore one couldn't use orla as chach in that situation. Then one final concept he brings up, and this was from that original Noda Behuda that we saw before, was already came up, but I skipped it because I knew it was going to come up here later. Rudiba argued that a sukkah needs at least a shear of four tfachim, of schach. It needs at least four tfachim of schach, so that's because the minimum size for a sukkah is 7 by 7 tfachim. And the reason why the minimum size for a sukkah is 7 tfachim is because somebody has to be able to fit most of their body and a small table. They have to be able to sit in the sukkah. And unless they can sit in the sukkah, it doesn't count as a sukkah. So if they have to be able to sit in the sukkah, then that's what's necessary, and that's 7 tfachim. And you need most of it to be covered by schach, so that would be 4 tfachim. So if you need 4 tfachim, you need a shear, then, Noda Behuda points out, there's a Tosus in Sukkah that talks about if you have an etrog of orla, this is where Geshetner points out. Tosus in Sukkah says you have an etrog of orla, so you have a etrog fruit that grew on an etrog tree that's not yet 4 years old, so therefore you're not allowed to use the first 3 years of the fruit, you're not allowed to use it. So he says you can't use it, not just because whether or not you get benefit from mitzvahs, Tosafot says it should be possible, mishum demechtat shiure, right? That it doesn't have the proper size of an etrog. Why doesn't it have the proper size of an etrog? Then the proper size of an etrog because you have to burn it. So it's as if, and the Gemara Tabura says, that it's among those are the things that are burnt, possibly midot, right? And therefore it should be that your etrog doesn't have the right size to it, and therefore you can't use it for an etrog. So that issue, though, stuff that needs to be burnt, like orla, is considered ketute mechtat shiure, is considered not to have a shear. So Rav Geshtender says there's a Tosafot that says it explicitly, and there's a Noda Behuda that sounds like it. But the Chasam Sofer has a couple of tshuvot where he's not so sure. The Chatam Sofer had one of his tshuvot says he never found it in the Gemara that he didn't in the Gemara that the Gemara ever said explicitly you have to burn Orla. The Rambam, when he mentions burning Orla, he only mentions it by the way, right? That but it doesn't ever talk about an obligation to burn Orla. It's just that since Orla is not usable, and therefore you have to burn it, you burn it to get rid of it, and by burning it, the ashes become permissible. So whereas, for example, if somebody had meat and milk cooked together, then even the ashes aren't permissible. But with Orla, the ashes are permissible. And maybe that's what we mean by burning it, and therefore, that's what the Chasam Sofer says. So aside from Tosos, Rashi also, when he's talking about Iran Idachat, also speaks about Ketute Mechtachi Ure. It's like it doesn't have a shear anymore, because the Halisreifa Koi, because it's supposed to be burnt. So that sounds like also that Orla is not considered something that has a shear because it needs to be burnt. Then he says, though, but I found a Ritva in Sukkah who supports the Chasam Sofer that Orla is not, it's not that you have to burn Orla, it's that it's assumed that it's going to be burned, and you can't get Hanah, you can't get any benefit from it while it's being burned, but after it's burnt, you can enjoy, whereas by Truma Tmeya, by the way, if you have Truma that got ritually impure, then you could get Hana'ah while you're burning. You could get benefit from the burning, like you could warm yourself by the burning, whereas by Orla, you can't get a benefit until after it's fully burned, and it's just ashes. And it's that element of it that makes it considered Ketute Mechtachiuri, but not that it absolutely must be burnt. Now, the truth is, you could then fit that back into Tosos, and you could say that Tosos also meant that when he said Ketute Mechtachiuri, that not that you have to burn it, but that it's probably going to be burnt because there's nothing better to do with it, and then at least you could use the ashes. But if that's true, and if that's enough for us to consider it mechtachiure, that doesn't have a shear, it's like it doesn't exist in any amount, so then it should seem to mean that, at least according to that note of Yehuda, it said that we need skacha for tvachim, that it's like you don't have any skach, because it's mechtachiure, there's no shear here, and therefore you shouldn't be able to use it for orla, for skach, because you don't have any of it, because even though there's material here, halachically we look at this material like it's not there, like it doesn't have a shear to it, and therefore you don't have skach. But Rav Gishtetner then says it's unclear to him how that works, because it's not true that tzchach needs a shear. What's true is that a sukkah has a size, and the sukkah needs to be covered to a certain extent, and from there we infer that you need this amount of tzchach in order to have the kind of covering that you need. But it's not because schach needs a shear. So therefore, when we say the question of ketute mechtat shiure, usually Rav Gishtetner says ketute mechtat shiure means that when I need a shear, so I need an amount of something in order to qualify for a mitzvah, then I don't have that amount. But so for like an etrog needs a certain amount. So when Tosfos says that an etrog of orla is ketute mechtat shiure, it means I don't have that amount here. But when it comes to schach, it's not so much, even though the Anur Yehuda says you need it for tzvachim, it's not that you need for tzvachim, it's that unless you have a certain amount of covering, you don't have the covering that you need. And therefore, maybe I could argue that Ketute Mechtat Shire shouldn't apply here. Then he notes that there's a Rabbeinu Noach in a commentary on the Rambam who quotes Rav Shmuel Bar Shlomo, who had said that, you know, Mechitzot and Skach could come from Asherah or Iran Idachat. Asherah is the Avodah Zorah tree, and the Iran Idachat is a whole city that has worshipped Avodah Zorah, and that all of its property has to be burned. So Rabbi Shmuel said you can use them because he apparently didn't think there was any need for a mechitza of any sort. And Rabbi Noach himself disagrees, because he says that we have a halacha in the Gemara that a sukkah needs at least a roof of a tefach. The Gemara talks about the possibility and the issue. Let's say you have a sukkah that the way you build it is, you put the wall right up against you put one wall right up against the other, like in a diagonal or sort of like a slant. Let's say you have a wall of a building, and I took some item and I slanted the building, and I wanted to make a sukkah out of that. There's no roof whatsoever. Gemara says, no, you need at least a gag tefach. A gag tefach, you need a roof of at least a tefach. So Rabbeinu Noach says, that need for a roof of at least a tefach, that is a shear, and since since the Asherah, the Avodah Zarah tree, or the Irani Dachat stuff is like it's burned up and it doesn't therefore have a shear, it can't qualify for that. But for Gishtetner's purposes, that shows that you don't actually need, neither of them seem to assume that Tzchach itself has any amount of a shear. It might be that the roof of the sukkah needs a shear, and for that, you don't have a shear. So if you can create that shear, that roof of the sukkah in some other way, but for Tzchach, you don't need a shear, then theoretically you could say, as long as I have a tefach, this is what he says, a tefach of kosher tzchach, because that makes a roof of a tefach, the word I said was the minimum, then the rest that I need, maybe you could use otherwise prohibited stuff, because mitzvahs lavle new, and even though they're standing to be burned, ketute mechta doesn't necessarily mean ketute mechta shear, means you lack a shear, it means it's not there at all, it means that for shear purposes, you don't have a shear. Then he says, I also found the Meiri, who says something very similar. He says, when we say Ketute Mechtat, the Meiri says, as it knows of a debate, as to whether that means that it's like it's not there at all, or it's like it's all crumbled up and it's not a whole item of any sort. And that, he suggests, would, that you can use Yisurei Na, things that are prohibited in benefit, for Tzchach, because even if you say that it's like it's crumbled up and it's not there, I mean, think about the two sides. One is it's not there at all. If you hold the other way, that it's like it's crumbled up and therefore it's not whole, well, we don't care that Tzchach should be crumbled up, as long as it creates shade. That's what the Meiri said, and that means Tzchach shel Asher, you can use Avodah Zarah Tzchach, you can use Tzchach, and you can all those things. Therefore, Gishtetner says, Ludina Nira, this is the conclusion, that as long as you have a tef of Tzchach Kasher, you can use Orla for the rest, because some hold that there's no issue of Kutei Mechtat Shiurei in Tzchach at all, and even according to Rabbeinu Noach, Manoach, who had said you needed a tefach, that's all you needed, and then the rest was okay, because it was fake sveika, because of all the issues. So, the actual basic question isn't all that interesting to me, because I don't know how many of us are dying to use Orla items for our Tzchach, but along the way, we've come across these several very interesting issues that we have to think about. There's mitzvos, there's whether or not mitzvos were what the amount of benefit we're allowed to get from mitzvos. That was one issue that came up. In addition to that, there was lav gederach hana'ah, or according to derach hana'ah, whether you get benefit from something in the way that one ordinarily gets benefit, and when that is or isn't an important issue. That's a second issue that came up. Third issue that came up was the question of ketutei mechtat shiuri, of things that are prohibited by hana'ah, whether they count or not, or they're considered as being there or not. And all these came together in terms of our discussions of whether one could use, and then the questions of whether tzchach needs a shear, whether it's something that needs an amount, and then whether the roof of a sukkah needs a gag tefak and how that affects it. And all these were the issues that came up along the way to discussing this otherwise somewhat technical question of whether you can use orla for tzchach. And that is a responsive day for the second day of Sukkot, first day of Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael, second day of Yom Tov outside of Eretz Yisrael, Rav Nathan Gishtetner on whether we can use orla for tzchach. Have a great day.